Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
It's good to have you with us today. We want to welcome all of our first-time guests. We also want to welcome those of you who are joining us online today. We're so glad that you have joined us. You know, we're just in the beginning of 2021, and I think there's some things that we need to consider as we've closed the door on one of the most difficult years in our lifetimes. I know it's not ever, but in our lifetimes, it's been one of the most difficult years. And I just want to share with you 12 things to consider as we say goodbye to 2020 and we face 2021, all right? Number one, the dumbest thing I ever bought was a 2020 planner. That's number one. Number two, I was so bored, I called Jake from State Farm just to talk with someone. He asked me what I was wearing, okay? Number three, in 2019, we were told to stay away from negative people. In 2020, we were told to stay away from positive people. COVID positive, that is. Number four, the world has turned upside down. Old folks are sneaking out of the house, and their kids are yelling at them to stay indoors. This morning, I saw a neighbor talking to her dog. It was obvious she thought her dog understood her. I came into my house and told my cat, and we laughed a lot. Number six, every few days, try on your jeans just to make sure they fit. Pajamas will have you believe that all is well in the kingdom. Number seven, does anyone know if we can take showers yet, or should we just keep washing our hands? All right, number eight, the virus has done what no woman has ever been able, the virus has done what no woman has been able to do, cancel sports, shut down all bars, and keep men at home. Number nine, I never thought the comment, I wouldn't touch him or her with a 6-foot pole, would become a national policy, but here we are. Number 10, I need to practice social distancing from the refrigerator. Number 11, I hope the weather is good tomorrow for my trip to the backyard. I'm getting tired of the living room. And the last one, number 12, and this is so true. I just said this a couple of weeks ago. Never in a million years could I have imagined I would go up to a bank teller wearing a mask and ask for money. How many of you done that? You know, a year ago, man, I'd never do that. Now it's that's majority. But no, those are some funny things to look back over the year, things to consider. And, you know, I think we realize that just because 2020 is done doesn't mean there aren't difficulties ahead. And I just want to encourage you in this first part of 2021, we're doing our 21 days of prayer and fasting. We've asked you, first of all, to select some things for you to pray and fast about. Also, we gave you prayer guides last week. They are at the information center. They look like this, but they give you some things to pray for our church about. And I am happy to share today, God has answered one of those needs. Our bookkeeper of 11 years, Ken is retiring, and so we've been praying for a bookkeeper. God has provided a bookkeeper. Anita McCoy is going to be our bookkeeper. Can you give God a hand? Wanted to let you know that so that in the days ahead, if you've got financial questions, realize giving statements and the taxes and all that stuff are coming out, and so if you have questions, you will talk to Anita about that. But God answers prayer, and I do want to invite you to come tonight at 5:30 sharp. We're going to start off with a time of worship. I'm going to share a little bit from the Word, and then we're going to be praying. We have different ones of our leaders and staff are going to be praying for different areas, and at the end, we're going to have like a prayer line. If you have any type of need in your life, we want to lay hands. We want to pray for you that God will take care of that need. We're going to believe that God is going to heal people. God is going to provide. Maybe God, if there's maybe a life-controlling problem you have, God will deliver you and set you free from that.
For those of you who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to be praying for that, believing that God will empower you with the Holy Spirit, and so that you can face 2021 with a new level of power and anointing in your life. So join us tonight at 5:30. It's going to be a great time. You know, I think as we look at 2021, we realize that it's kind of a mystery. We really don't know what's going to happen with COVID. We don't really know what's going to happen with the government. We really don't know with a lot of certainty what is going to take place. 2021 is a mystery. How many of you like mysteries? Think of it a different way. How many like mystery stories? You know, like when I was a kid, I loved the Hardy Boys. I went to the library, checked out Hardy Boy book after Hardy Boy book. I read almost the entire series, but I love mysteries. And, you know, maybe some of you, you like mystery stories. You know, for those of you, if you're watching online, write down, you know, in the comment space, maybe what your favorite mysteries are. Maybe it's the Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew. Maybe some of us, we kind of like movies that are out, like Knives Out or Murder on the Orient Express. Maybe some of you are really into the TV series, like Law and Order or CSI or NCIS. Did you notice how when one of those shows got really popular and they started, you know, they went to CSI Miami and CSI New York and they just began to go everywhere? You know, why didn't they ever do one like CSI Glen Rock? You know, NCIS Alcova, they've got water there. That's the name. Yeah, you know. You know, yeah. But, you know, what mystery do you like? Just jot that down if you're watching us online this morning. Sometimes we run into mysteries in the Scripture, a mysterious verse, a verse that we don't comprehend. And this morning, I want us to look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26. It is probably one of the most confusing verses in the Bible. Luke 14, 26, Jesus is speaking, and he says, if anyone comes to me, anyone wants to be my follower, and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. I want you to think about that. Jesus said, if you don't hate your family, those who are closest to you in your own life, you can't be my disciple. What does that mean? I mean, because that word hate, when you look it up in the original language, it's the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, when Jesus heard or said, you've heard in the past that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemy. So it's hating an enemy. That's the context it's used. It's the same word in Matthew 24, 9, when Jesus said, they're going to deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. It's the same word used in John 15, 18. If the world hates you, know it hated me before it hated you. And so when we read this statement, and it's the same word hate, that you need to hate your father and mother, hate your wife and children, hate your brothers and sisters, hate your own life, it's kind of like, well, that seems to contradict, you know, the commandment to honor your father and mother. It seems to contradict the statement in Scripture where it says to love your wife as you love yourself. And so what does Jesus really mean by that? Now, this word hate can also be used not just for like hating something, but it can also be used to mean that you don't love it as much. You prefer something more. You love something less. And so Jesus is saying when you compare our love for him to our love for our family, there is such a greater devotion to Christ that our love for our family seems like hatred compared to how much we love Jesus and how committed we are to him. That's what Jesus is getting at. In fact, the contemporary English version states it like this. It says, you cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your father and mother, your wife and children, your brothers and sisters. You cannot come with me unless you love me more than you love your own life. Now, I want you to take that and just set it aside. We're going to come back to it in just a moment, because this morning I want to talk about, we're going to get into the theme of our morning's message, and our theme is the theme for 2021. What I like to do, and we've done this for the past several years, is we've set up a theme for the year. I pray and ask God, Lord, what do you want to be kind of like the overall tone? You may remember that last year's theme was our mission statement, that we want to help all people find and follow Jesus. Yeah, the two F words. These are good F words, okay? Yes. We want to help all people find and follow Jesus. In 2019, our theme was to seek the King and see the kingdom. Yeah, you got it. And the year before that was God defies the odds. Yeah, you see, you remember that. Theme for 2021, this year, the theme for 21 is influence your radius. Influence your radius. I believe that this year, God wants to open doors for you, for me, for our church, to be witnesses, to share the love of Christ, to see God do an incredible thing in people's lives like we've never seen before. I believe we're going to have more opportunity to make an impact in our community and in the lives of individuals and families. And all of us have a radius of influence. It's our family. It's coworkers for our students in college or in high school, junior high, elementary. You have a radius of friends at school. You have neighbors. You have people that you come in contact with. If you go to the same gas station to get gas, or the same store, or the same coffee shop, you get to know the people there. You have an influence with all of those people. There's a radius of influence that we have, and we need to influence those people for Jesus. 3 months ago, we changed the name of our church to Radius Church. And radius, it symbolizes two things. One, it symbolizes relationship with God. And secondly, it focuses on our relationship with people. And our theme is to influence our radius, our relationships with people. We're going to be honing in on that next week. But this morning, I want to focus on the radius as it relates to our relationship with God. Because here's the thing. If our relationship with God is not right, then our relationship with people will not be right. So before we can influence others within our radius, we first need to make sure that we have the radius with God taken care of. And what does that mean? Well, for us to influence our radius, in your notes this morning, to do this effectively, we have to center every point of our life on Jesus. We have to center every point of our life on Jesus. And I have a diagram up here on this whiteboard of a circle, and there's a point in the middle. It's a red dot. This dot is Jesus, all right? This red dot is Jesus. And then there's a purple line that's drawn. This line symbolizes our life. And what we need to do is at every point of our life needs to center on Christ. When you talk about a radius in geometry, a radius is a straight line drawn from the edge of a circle back to the center. Every point on a radius flows back to the center. That's what a radius is. In like manner, every point of our life needs to center on Jesus Christ. So when it comes to things like our marriage needs to center on Jesus. When it comes to our kids, how we parent needs to center on Jesus. Things like integrity, anything you can talk about centers on Jesus. How you handle conflict, how you handle frustration when something goes wrong, how do you handle depression? All of these things need to line up and center on Jesus. How would Jesus handle those things? Every point of our life needs to center on Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want to talk about how do we center this morning. So if you're taking notes today, point number one, how do we center our lives on Jesus? Love Jesus more than anyone or anything. Love Jesus more than anyone or anything. And that symbolizes relationship. We need relationship with God. We just read about that in Luke chapter 14. He says, you have to love me more than you love your parents, than your spouse, than your kids or brothers or sisters. You have to love me more than your very own life. It implies a relationship. That word love means relationship. Being a Christ follower is not about keeping a bunch of rules and regulations. That's religion. Being a Christian is about relationship, and that is the difference between so many of the world's religions. They focus on what you do. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, and it's all about keeping rules and regulations. It's a religion, but in Christianity, it's a relationship. I remember growing up, I attended church all the time, but I didn't have a relationship with God. God seemed distant and far away. And since becoming a Christian, I've got a relationship. Since receiving Christ as my Savior, trusting His blood, confessing my sin to forgive me, and making Him the leader of my life, I've got a relationship with now. You know, and this past week, I've just so enjoyed the extra time of prayer through our prayer and fasting. And just yesterday afternoon, I was praying in the afternoon. My family was gone. And it was just such a sweet time of communion with Jesus. I don't know for how long, just sang worship songs and praised Him and loved on Him. And friends, Jesus wants you and I to have that closeness, that intimacy, because that's what He died for. God, so help me, loved the world. Love implies relationship. Jesus, when He was talking about the greatest commandments, the most important things to do, He mentions this fact about relationship. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength." I'm going to read that now in the Passion Translation, because many times, yeah, I know that's what it means. Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, da-da-da-da-da. This is how the Passion puts it. "You are to love the Lord Yahweh your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment." How many of you have ever been in love before? Do you remember kind of the first time you fell in love? Now, if you're married, I hope you raise your hand. If you didn't, you're in deep weeds, okay? Do we need to do that again so you get out of the doghouse? How many have ever been in love before? Okay, that's better. All right, you're out of the doghouse. I saved you and me a whole lot of marriage counseling this week. Just kidding. I will do marriage counseling if you need it. But anyway, going back to this, if you remember kind of your first love, the one you fell in love with, I remember when I met Rebecca in college, as I got to know her, I really started to like this girl. I was falling in love with her. And after class, it's like, where can I meet her? You know, I knew what class she was at, where it needed to go. Where can I have a few minutes with her? When I came to the cafeteria, where is she sitting? When I wasn't with her, I wished I was. And when I was with her, I didn't want to leave. And now, I did do other things, okay? We played intramural sports. I hung out with my friends. Yeah, I did a little bit of studying, writing papers, reading that kind of thing, you know. But even in the midst of all that, in the back of my mind, there is this mental, emotional connection where I want to be with her. Because I love her, I enjoy being with her. And I believe when Jesus says that God wants us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's what He's looking for, this mental, emotional connection that we want to be with Him. You know, it is so easy for us to wake up in the morning, to hurry up and get ready, and then to storm off, fly through our day, going to work, doing what we need to do, picking up the kids from school, paying the bills, going shopping, doing laundry, cooking, cleaning, helping with homework, going to bed. And we've just spent the entire day doing all these things, but we really haven't been connected to Jesus. In fact, I'll say this, for those of you who are married, it's easy to do that after you've been married. You've lost your first love. And if you read Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7 last week, as we shared that message that Pastor Ron Rice said in there, that was the scripture verse that it contained, and that Jesus had this against the church of Ephesus. You have left your first love. And He says, you're doing all these things, and you're doing great. You're not sinning. But you've lost that passion. You've lost that desire. You've lost that connection. And we need in 2021 to have that connection, that desire, that passion for Jesus like we've never had before. Jesus used four words when he was talking about how to love God. He said, your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I don't believe he was trying to give a nice, neat compartmentalization on each of these four categories of our human faculties. Instead, he was just trying to illustrate that we are to love God with our entire being. Okay? Now, in your notes, we have given you a brief description of heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm just going to go for it. You can follow along in your notes. The heart is the fountain and the seat of our thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. I mean, that pretty much sums it up right there. We're to love God with our all, with everything that is in us. And as I was praying about this point for the message, I felt God say, Craig, I have given people a lot of passions. Passions for maybe it's woodworking, maybe it's passions for doing computers or for golfing, fishing, scrapbooking, whatever it might be. But in the midst of our passions, we need to make sure we're glorifying God with our passions so that Jesus is the highest passion. Our passions are glorifying God. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? That means if you go fishing and the big one gets away, that you react the way Jesus would react. How many have ever had a big one on the line and you lost it? Okay? How do you feel? Some of us want to use some words that we would not mention in church, okay? But out there on the lake when no one's around, it's okay. But how many know things carry on the water, huh? Or you're out golfing. I'm a golfer. And there's times, you know, you hit a shot and it's like, whee! I mean, yeah, if you were a baseball player and you had that kind of curveball, you'd be in the major leagues, baby. You know, when things go bad, when you're doing your hobby, whether it's video games, Facebook, whatever it is, are you glorifying God as you do it? Do you reflect Jesus? Also, are you taking time away from your time with your spouse and your kids and even time with Jesus, because it is so much, in a way, an addiction. It's out of balance in your life that you're not doing what you need to be doing. And it's crowding out the important things and it's become your idol, your God. That's what it means. Our passions need to glorify God. I'm not saying you can't do anything. You got to spend 24/7 on your knees praying. No, but just as we walk through life at work, at school, in our free time, as we're doing our bills and our chores and hanging out, that we glorify God with our heart, okay? Going to the soul is the center of our personality. It's our emotions, our will. We live to God and we're willing to die for Him at His command. You know, there are nations all around the world where it's illegal to be a Christian. Formerly in communist Russia, communist China, the church is in persecution. Many North African nations where it's dominated by Islam, you know, you can be stoned, you can be beheaded, you can be killed for being a Christian. If America, we lose our religious freedom, are you willing to still walk with Jesus? The message in tongues and interpretation we had this morning, by the way, for those of you that's kind of different, you weren't used to hearing an unfamiliar language, you can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, where God wants to communicate a message to those who are present. And so that's the framework for that, the biblical framework. But in the message it says, stay on the straight and narrow. And I tell you, persecution is one of the things that really shows who is a serious Christian and who is a casual Christian who really doesn't mean it, because people will fall away from the faith. They'll walk off the straight and the narrow when the going gets tough, when it gets hot. And so we need to make sure that we are willing to die for Jesus. And not just die, not just lose our life, but lose the things in our life. It's like the people that the writer of Hebrews addressed in chapter 10, verse 34, when he said, some have suffered in prison and have joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. What would happen if the government came out and said, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, then you lose your home, you lose your cars, you lose your bank accounts, you lose all your possessions, you lose your family if you're still going to follow Christ? Will we still follow him? Will we love our life less? Will we love our family less and love Jesus more and keep serving him? You know, I know this is a kind of a heavy message, but friends, we don't know how heavy the times are going to get. And we need to make the decision now of what we're going to do, not in the heat of the moment. I know when our kids were young and we were raising them, we talked about, you know, we kind of role-played, what are you going to do if someone offers you alcohol, someone offers you drugs, if someone's propositioning you for a night? What are you going to do? Because if you haven't made that decision, you don't know how you're going to respond. When the heat is on, you might give in. And so we need to make the decision that no matter what happens, we are going to lay down our soul, our life, for Jesus Christ. Let's go on. The mind involves our intellect and our thoughts. We love God. We love his law, his truth. We love the gospel more than we do the decisions of our own mind. We submit to his teaching and guidance and devote to him all our intellectual attainments and the results of all of our intellectual efforts. And then our strength is our energy, ability, and power to work for God's glory and to make God's glory the great object of all our efforts. Jesus was saying, I want you to love me with all of your being. That's what it means to center every point of our lives on Jesus. All right? Let's take a look this morning now at the next way we center our life on Jesus. Number two, our lives line up with our Lord's life. And this involves obedience. Our lives line up with our Lord's life. This is obedience. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now, remember last week we talked about an open heaven, seeing God's manifest presence show up in our lives, show up in our world? Doesn't that sound like an open heaven? You're prophesying, you're casting out demons, you're seeing people that are in bondage being set free, you're doing miracles, you're doing all these things for God, people are being healed, and look what Jesus says next, and then I will declare to them who did these supernatural things, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, we can live under an open heaven and still not go to heaven. You're saying, well, I don't believe that, Craig. That's what Jesus said. They're doing supernatural acts in the name of Jesus. But because of a lawless heart, a heart that says, well, I'm not going to line up with what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm not going to obey. But they even, and for some reason, God still used him. When they prayed in his name, God honored his word, the name of Jesus, and God did supernatural things, but they did not go to heaven. And so we need to make sure that we're being on that straight and narrow road that the message gave this morning. We need to obey Scripture and not twist it to make it fit what we want, to what we think it should be, because it's a little uncomfortable otherwise. This aspect of obedience is so important because if you miss it, you can miss out on eternity with Jesus. In our child dedication class, when we dedicate babies, I tell the story of this family that was coming home from church, and as they were, The father, he was just fussing about the preacher. He was fussing about the traffic. He was fussing about the weather. They get home, and the meal was a little late, and he's fussing about the lateness of the meal. They sit up to eat, and they pray, and the father prays this beautiful, wonderful prayer. Amen. And then his son says, Daddy, yeah, did God hear you when you were fussing about the preacher and fussing about the traffic and fussing about the weather and fussing about the lateness of the meal? And the dad kind of gets a slight shade of red and goes, yeah, he did. And then did God just hear you now when you prayed this beautiful prayer and thanking him for the food and for everything? Yeah, he did. And the little boy says, so which one does God believe? And the thing is, God believes both of them. You know, because he knows, but sometimes to our kids and to others, they don't discern that, and especially the unchurched, those that are outside the faith, when they see hypocrisy in our lives, then it discredits our message. And if we want to influence our radius in 2021 and beyond, then we need to make sure our lives are lining up with our lips. We profess to be a Christian, but my attitudes, my motives, are things lining up? Many people profess Jesus, but their lives don't line up with their lips. Their attitudes don't emulate their actions. Their wallets don't coincide with their words. And their motives don't match their movements. There's good movements, but there's impure, selfish motives underneath. When I was pastoring another church, not this church, okay? It's a different church. I want to get that very clear. One day, the church treasurer bookkeeper came up to me and said, he says, Pastor, have you read the paper? And I could tell he had this concern. And I says, no, I don't take the paper. And he said, well, the paper publishes the salaries of the public school teachers. And one of our board members was a public school teacher. The treasurer goes on to say, and Mr. Board Member, he named his name, Mr. Board Member, according to the paper, is not tithing. Now, one of the requirements that we had for our board in that church, and we have for our church here, is that our board members need to tithe. The reason behind that is because in Malachi chapter 3, God says, if you don't return the tithe, we don't give our tithes. I hope you realize that, because the tithe belongs to God. You can't give something that doesn't belong to you. If I tried to give Christy Bettina's car, I can't give Bettina's car because I don't own it, okay? I can't do that. And we return the tithe to God because the tithe belongs to God. And so my treasurer was kind of saying, he's not tithing. He shouldn't be a board member. And the reason is because, think of this, would you let a bank robber be on a bank board? I wouldn't put a bank robber on the board of a bank. If my bank had a bank robber on there, I think I'd probably be finding a new bank. How many would take your money out? Yeah, in the same sense, as Malachi says, if you don't tithe, you've robbed me. We don't put a God robber on God's board. And so the treasurer went on to say, in fact, when you add up the tithe and the missions and the building fund and giving to guest speakers, all of that still doesn't even equal the tithe according to what it says he's making. And the treasurer went on, and his wife works full-time as a nurse in the hospital. I mean, my treasurer's a little upset. And what was so funny is that Mr. Board Member was one of the most adamant, vocal people on how we need to be tithing. In fact, if we were in a financial crunch and we're in a board meeting, Mr. Board Member would say, well, we just need everybody to start tithing. If everybody would just tithe, we would be good. And it was like his wallet didn't line up with his words. His giving record did not match his W-2. And here's the thing. It's not so much that he didn't tithe, but it's that he said, I am doing this, but he wasn't walking his words. And friends, God wants us to be people of integrity. Now, I know we're going to mess up, but if we are continually not living a life integrity, living a lie, putting on a good appearance, but our lives are not lining up with the word, with Jesus, and we're not obeying him, then we have some serious issues. We need to repent of our sin. And it's not just in the area of finances, it's in every area. Our work ethic, our kids, our marriage, conflict, depression, discouragement, bitterness, all these things, our lives need to line up with Jesus. We need to evaluate. That's why I think it's so important every day we take some time in our prayer life. And if you haven't done this in your fasting time, I encourage you to do this, where we just say, God, speak to me. Show me if there's anything I need to confess. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. That's something we're supposed to do every day, is evaluate our lives and confess our sin to God so that we're lining up with him and walking in obedience. You know, we talked about an open heaven. And how many want to live under an open heaven? I do. You know, it's interesting. I want to go back to this Malachi passage. Just kind of do a little side thing here, going back to last week's message. Because Malachi talks about living under an open heaven. In chapter 3, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? I know I've alluded to this, but it says, you have robbed me. In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. If you tithe, if you trust me that I can do more with 90% than you can do with 100%, you will live under an open heaven and pour out a blessing such that there will be not room enough to receive it. Friends, the reasons I want you to tithe is so that you can have a blessed life. When we don't tithe, we are under a curse. We're not under the blessing of God, and I want you to live under the blessing of God. There have been times when I haven't tithed on certain parts of my income, and I paid the price for it. And then I rectified that when I realized what I was doing. Friends, you can't outgive God. You can trust God to take care of your finances. And it's not just with finances, it's with everything. Live under an open heaven by being holy so the Holy Spirit can move upon your life. Okay, let's go to the final point this morning about how do we center our lives on Jesus. Point number 3, Jesus is first place. Jesus is first place, and this deals with leadership and priorities. Leadership is who is controlling our life, who's calling the shots, who's in charge. Priorities deals with what is important to us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, he, referring to Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Now, how many realize that your head is in charge of your body? Your head decides what it's going to do in the rest of the body. You know, right now I've decided I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to wave at you. I'm going to pick my... No, I'm not going to do that. You know, my head's deciding what I'm doing right now. So Jesus needs to be our head. He is sitting on the throne. Christ should be the one in charge of our lives, calling the shots. We don't live by how we feel. We don't live by how other people want us to live or by what we want. We see what Jesus wants and what the Word says, and that gives us our marching orders, okay? So he's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. That word supremacy means to be first in rank or influence. So nobody and nothing is to have more influence on our life than Jesus, all right? Jesus is to be our highest priority. He is our leader and we follow him. How many of you like pizza? A lot of you. What's your favorite kind of pizza? If you're online, type in your favorite kind of pizza. I've heard a lot of people say pepperoni. How many like pepperoni? Pepperoni, onions, jalapenos. You know what my favorite pizza is? Pepperoni, pineapple, and mushrooms. I just like that, okay? I don't get it very often. I heard someone say, echo out in the crowd, what's your favorite kind of pizza? They said free. Okay, that might be my favorite kind of pizza. But there's one kind of pizza that's called a supreme pizza. And what does that mean? It's got everything on it, okay? That's the supreme. It has everything. Friends, when we're talking about he has the supremacy. It means he has everything. We're not holding out any part of our life from him. He's got it all. All of it centers back to him. He has everything. In your notes this morning, take a look at the diagram there. You see two circles. Actually, there's three circles, if we could go to that diagram. And there's kind of two categories. This two circles on the left represent a self-directed life where we sit on the throne. That letter S stands for self. The cross represents Jesus. And the dots are the interests in our life. And when we are on the throne, then the interests are directed by self, often resulting in discord and frustration. And you can see that the cross, in one example, is outside the life. This is a person who's not a follower of Jesus. God's not even in their life. But there are some people who are Christians, but really they haven't put Jesus on the throne. And are they going to heaven or not? I don't know. I'm not the judge. God knows that. But I know that we are not to sit on the throne regardless of where Jesus is. The circle on the right, it shows the cross. Jesus is in our life and he's on the throne. And our self is, look, it's kneeling at the feet of Jesus. The self is yielded to Christ. The self is just giving up, it's surrendering. And as a result, is in harmony with God's plan. Even if they have to be thrown in a fiery furnace like the three Hebrew children were. Even if it means that you lose everything as the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10 did. They gave up the confiscation of their property and they went to prison. It's saying, God, you're in charge. And you know, when you're walking on the straight and narrow, and you're walking in obedience, and you're loving God, there's a peace no matter what's happening in your life. And sometimes when we lose that peace, it's because we've kind of taken our eyes off Jesus, and we're not loving him, we're not spending time in his presence. You get back in his presence, and you look at him, and that peace and that joy comes. And as a result, when we put God first, and we begin to let him order our lives, then our interests are directed by Christ, and it results in harmony with God's plan. And I know there's a lot of things. My wife and I, we've been really busy. We've been kind of planning our new year, making the new schedules, and it's like, I don't have enough time to get done with everything I've got to get done. And you know what's easy to do? That you begin to block out your priorities, your time with Jesus, your time with your spouse, your time with your kids, so you can get everything done. And as a result, you just begin to feel more hurried, more frazzled, more frustrated, more burdened, more anxious. And we need to make sure that we're looking at what are the priorities Jesus says, and those are the priorities of our life. This morning, I just asked the simple question, which circle best represents your life? Which circle best represents your life? Is it one of the two circles on the left where you're sitting on the throne, you're in charge? Or is it the circle on the right where Jesus is the king and you're following him? Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, you love us so much that you died on the cross to forgive us, to set us free from our sin, from ourselves, and to give us a relationship with you and the Father. Help us to embrace your love and your plan for our lives. This morning we've talked about love, obedience, leadership, and priorities. And as you examine these things in your life, where does Jesus rank in importance and priority? Do you love Jesus more than yourself, what you want? Do you love him more than your spouse and kids, your parents? Do you love Jesus more than money, success, acceptance by others, more than pleasure? Are you walking in obedience to his word? Or is there some dishonesty? Is there unforgiveness in your life? Is there sexual impurity that you need to just say, God, I've got off the straight and narrow. I've been on a wrong path. Maybe God's been speaking to you about something for a long time, but you've been ignoring it. And today you need to confess that and say, Jesus, I'm turning away from that. Forgive me for my sin. For some of us this morning, our life needs to reflect God. And maybe it just really doesn't. Our attitudes, our motives, our emotions when we're doing things, it just doesn't line up. Today, some of us might need just a minor recalibration, some minor adjustments, and say, you know what? This has been off in my life. Over the holidays, I got away from my prayer time, or, you know, I realize I'm not spending my time with my wife and my kids. I've gotten really busy. How many would say, I've got some minor recalibrations. There's some things I've got to adjust in my life. Just put your hand up this morning. Thank you for your honesty. Others of us, maybe we would say, you know what? I've got some major adjustments. There are some things I've got to repent of in my life, some things I've got to change. If God's speaking to you about some major things in your life, would you raise your hand this morning? Anyone here? Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. That's great. And last of all, there may be some of you, you're not followers of Jesus. Jesus is outside of your life. You need to repent. That word repent means to turn away from your sin, and then you turn towards God. You need to put Jesus on the throne of your life. And maybe you're watching us online this morning, and you need to just surrender everything to God and say, Jesus, you're in charge. Maybe you're here in this building. But if you would say, I need to become a Christian, a Christ follower, would you just put your hand up in the air today? How many here would say, I need to get right with God? If I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Anyone here today, you just put your hand up. Online, if you're watching, just put your hand up today. I want to say a prayer, and I'm going to have all of us repeat after me. I don't want anyone praying alone. And there's different facets of this prayer, and I want you to apply the portions that relate to your life. Join me together today. Lord Jesus, I'm giving you my life. I know I have sinned. I have done wrong. And I'm laying everything down. Become my king. Lead me. Guide me. Change my motives. Change my thoughts. Change my actions so that they line up with you. Help me to love you. Help me to know you. I want to experience a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.